John chapter 4, let's focus this morning on Jesus and the woman at the well. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. I love verse 4, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto her, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast and now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. I love this. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city, and came unto him. In the meanwhile his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto him, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his works. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. For many and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for just reading the Bible, Lord, for the time we are allowed to spend just looking at the words of the scriptures and hearing the stories. What a privilege to be able to stand and listen to Jesus converse with this woman who had such a great need, and at first was so unaware of her need, and yet, Lord, her eyes were opened, and soon she saw who she was talking to and what he could offer her. And Lord, she believed that he was the Christ. Salvation occurred this day. A miracle happened. I pray, Lord, that we could learn some things from this story. Help me as I teach the Bible, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and you may be seated. Preaching on this subject, Jesus and the woman at the well. Jesus at the woman and the woman at the well. I just spent some time in our young adult class teaching them and helping them to instill in their young people a hunger for knowledge, and their children a hunger for knowledge. One of the child attributes of Jesus Christ was the fact that he wanted to learn. He wanted to know. As a 12-year-old, he sought out the doctors in Jerusalem. The Bible said he heard them, both hearing them and asking them questions. And you know what, folks? I hope that you've come this morning with a desire to learn. This is not just an important attribute for children. I'm afraid we oftentimes as adults get to a certain point in time where if we're not careful, we just kind of think we know all that we need to know and we can't learn something new. I don't know about you, but I've come to hear from God this morning. I want to see what the Bible says. And you know what? My opportunities to learn, and I think my excitement over an opportunity to learn heightens when I have an opportunity to read a story about Jesus Christ. I want to know our Savior. I want to learn from Him. I want to be like Him. Folks, if being a Christian is not striving to be like Christ, then tell me what it is. I'm saying this, the ultimate goal of the Christian life is to be like Jesus. Let's learn from His example this morning. Here we see Jesus being a soul winner. We see Jesus conversing with someone who is an unbeliever. We see Jesus patiently bringing her to a point of understanding of who He was and what He had to offer. And we see this lady believing and putting her faith in the fact that Jesus was the Son of God, the Messiah, and her faith and trust is placed in the Son of God. Let's take a look at the story. There's many things that I think we can learn as we study the story of Jesus and the woman at the well. Number one, let me just give you this. Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit, and this resulted in the salvation of this woman. He was led by the Holy Spirit, and it resulted in the salvation of this woman. I cannot tell you, folks, the importance of being Holy Spirit led as a child of God. One of the things that we see here is that Jesus purposely chose to go through Samaria. Now, if you were to get out a map, let me tell you, you would find out that this is not the easiest way to go from where he was to where he was going. He was going to go out of his way, and he was going to take a harder, more difficult path in order to go through Samaria. But you know what? He knew, because of the leading of the Spirit of God, that there was a divine appointment awaiting him in Samaria. So he listened to the Holy Spirit of God. We see that the geography could have convinced him not to go through Samaria. Also, the prejudice against the Samaritans could have convinced him not to go through Samaria. But you know what? Jesus, who was a Jew, and let me just say this, the Jews and the Samaritans, they didn't have much of a relationship. The Jews looked down at the Samaritans. The Samaritans were part Jew, part Gentile. They were kind of half-breeds, so a pure-blooded Jew. You say, Brother Jerry, are you telling me prejudice existed back in those days? Yes, prejudice existed even back in those days. The Jews thought themselves superior. They looked down on the Samaritans. Let me just make an announcement here. Jesus died for everybody. Jesus died for her. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. He doesn't just love children. He loves the teenagers. He loves the men. He loves the women. He loves the seasoned citizen. And let me just say this, Jesus died for everybody. And so the disciples probably wouldn't have chosen this way because it was harder and it was longer. They wouldn't have chosen this way because it was going to take them through the midst of a people that they didn't have much interaction with. But let me say this, folks. Jesus said this. He must needs go through Samaria. And you know what? If we listen to the Holy Spirit, a lot of times the Holy Spirit will make us and require of us that we overcome our prejudice. We overcome the tendency to want to choose the easiest path in life. And we go places sometime that we would not have chosen to go. But there's somebody there waiting to hear about Jesus Christ. Look up here and let me help you with something. If you are saved, and you've received Christ as your Savior, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit inside of you right now. Now listen, Christian, this is so important. Do you know what the Holy Spirit of God wants to direct you tomorrow? He wants to direct you after the service as far as how you ought to go to the house. He wants to direct you to certain people this week. He's going to lay people on your heart that you ought to call or you ought to go see. Hey, if there's ever a time we ought to be sensitive to that, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, it ought to be as we enter into our fall attendance campaign. You see, if you're willing to and you're listening, God will lay on your heart people that you ought to see and you ought to go witness to and you ought to places you ought to go. And if you're open to that, the Holy Spirit, one of His jobs is to direct us to divine appointments. What do we mean by a divine appointment? I believe that there are in heaven appointments that are orchestrated solely by God, where God wants to get me as a born-again Christian willing to share the gospel to a place where there is somebody that is lost that is willing to at least hear the gospel. Folks, this doesn't always result in a conversion. Sometimes it's just the planting of a seed. Sometimes it's the watering of that seed. Sometimes we're there to see the increase. But we need to be super sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading as He directs us. I like to tell this story. I tell it maybe every 2 or 3 years. But I believe that I can go back in my life and point to the very first time that God taught me the importance of being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and God involved me in a divine appointment. I think He did so in a very drastic way, in a very radical way, so that I would learn early on the importance of just listening to God. I was in Bible college, and I was working in the bus ministry at that time, and the end of our visitation was coming on a Saturday, and we were getting ready to finish the day. All through the day, there was on my heart a young lady that used to live on our route. A lot of times, God will put somebody on your heart, and you know what? You don't know why you're thinking about this person. And usually, I just take that opportunity to pray for them. For some reason, they need me to be praying. This person's on my mind for no particular reason, so I'm going to spend extra time praying for them today. But you know what? Praying didn't seem to satisfy the fact that God kept impressing me about this young lady that used to ride on our route. So on the way home, I was walking with a friend of mine, Dan Poole, and we were walking down Troy Street in Chicago, and we walked by the apartment building that this young lady used to live in. It's just three apartments, three-story building, three apartments, and she used to live on the top floor. Now, about 6 weeks before that, she had moved. I had been there to make sure since then that they actually had moved. The apartment was empty. I looked up at it as we walked by. There's no curtains on the window. There's obviously nobody there. It's dark, and yet I felt the Holy Spirit of God impressing me that I ought to go up and see this young lady. And I'm thinking to myself, but she doesn't live there. But it wouldn't go away. You know, folks, can I say this? God's direction isn't always rational. God's direction oftentimes doesn't make sense. And here I am walking past this apartment, arguing with the Lord. Go up and knock on that apartment door. Lord, I know that you're laying her on my heart, but she doesn't live there. As if I have to tell God that she doesn't live there anymore. You know, and I got past the apartment. I got a half block almost past the apartment on my way to the prayer meeting. And it was as if the Lord said this to me, fine, then don't listen to me. Just don't listen to me. And boy, I fell under deep conviction. I thought to myself, you know what? I was scared that God might just say, you know what? If you're not going to listen to me, I just won't speak to you again. I won't try to tell you what to do or where you go if you're not going to listen to me. So I stopped. And you got to understand, all this is going on in my heart and my head. And I stop, and Danny pulls beside me, and I said, wait a minute, we got to go back. And he said, well, it's about time. I said, just real quick, we got to go back to that apartment. So we went back. I started to climb the stairs. And he said, Brother Jerry, he said, the young lady moved. I said, I know that. And I wanted to tell him, why don't you tell God that? I've been telling God that the whole time. She's not up there. And so we opened the door. We went up the first flight of steps, past the second floor apartment, the second flight of steps, got to the top apartment, knocked on the door, knocked on the door, knocked on the door. No answer. You know why? Because nobody lives there. That's why nobody answered. I'm sitting, I wanted to almost say, God, see, what are you doing? This is crazy enough. So I walked down to the second floor, and it's like the Holy Spirit said, well, knock on this door. And I said, well, I'm here anyway. Knocked on that door. Somebody lived there, but they weren't home. Nobody answered. I came all the way down, getting ready to leave, thinking, what is the word? Am I losing my mind? And the Holy Spirit of God said, knock on the the first floor apartment, and I almost didn't do it. And I thought to myself, well, I've gone this far. So I said, let's hit this last apartment. Danny's looking at me like I've lost my mind. And by the way, as I walked up to the apartment door on the porch, you could look into the living room. There's not a stick of furniture in the living room. There's no curtains. You know what? I look in this direction. You can see into a bedroom. No curtains. Empty apartment. I thought, nobody lives here. And I thought, here we go. And I knock on the door, turned around to go almost immediately, just knocked and turned around to go thinking nobody was there. And about the time I got three steps away, the door flew open and there was a man standing in that door, and his hair was kind of all messed up and his clothes were wrinkled. And I turned around and I said, hello, my name is Brother Jerry and I'm from, he said, I know who you are. And he reached out and grabbed my hand and pulled me in the apartment, and Danny's looking and I'm looking and we're going into this apartment. And he pulls me back. There's no furniture in this apartment except for one bedroom. He pulls me back into the apartment. In this empty apartment, one bedroom, there is a, I can still see it, there's a mattress laying on the floor. There's a desk lamp laying on the floor. And on the mattress, watch this, on the mattress is an open Bible. And on the mattress beside the open Bible is a .38 revolver. And I'm sitting there thinking, help me, Jesus. You know, and I got wide-eyed, and Danny got wide-eyed. He had to know Danny Poole. This was classic that he was with me. He was the most nervous guy I've ever been around. Danny was a mess, man. And he turned around, and he looked at that, and he's looking at me, and he's looking at that, and he's looking at me, you know. Like, what have you got me into? I said, what's your name? He said, Frank. He said, Dave sent you, right? I said, Dave sent me what? He said, you're from First Baptist Church in Hammond. I said, I am, yeah. He said, well, Dave sent you. I had no idea what he was talking about. I said, no, Dave didn't send me. I said, what are you talking about? He said, he broke down, began to cry. And he said, my wife left me about 6 weeks ago. And he said, I don't blame her. He said, I've been on drugs. I've been on alcohol. My life's a mess. He said, she moved to Texas, left and went to Texas. I got on a bus a few weeks back and went down to Texas to try to find her. And when I was on the bus going down to Texas, there was a young man that was from the college. Doesn't that church have a college? Yeah. He was from the college. He was going home for Christmas break. And by the way, the guy's name was Dave Parker. And I said, what's his last? Dave Parker. I had a little track with the guy's name written on it. And I said, is that right? And he said, yeah. And he told me, he talked to me about it and he prayed with me about it. And he said, he led me to Jesus Christ. He showed me how to be saved. And I got saved on the bus there. And he told me when he got back, he'd send somebody by to get me to church and to help me. And I said, well, here I am. And so I began to talk with him and pray with him. And I said, Frank, to be honest with you, I said, the gun makes me a little nervous. And he said, oh, I'll put that away. And he opened it up, took all the shells out of it, stuck it underneath his pillow over there. And he said to me, Brother Jerry, call you Brother Jerry. And I said, yeah. And he said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, I know that I'm saved, but you've got to understand, I've got so much on me, and I'm still battling the drugs, and I'm still battling the wrong cloud. I'm still battling the alcohol, and I've been sitting in this apartment waiting for whoever Dave was going to send by to come by, and I've waited for 2 weeks now. And I told God tonight, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to read my Bible and I'm going to read it till midnight, and if somebody doesn't come by midnight, I'm going to pick up that gun and I'm going to blow my brains out. And I'm going to tell you something, folks, I got goosebumps all up and down my arms and down my spine, hair stood up back of my neck, and I thought to myself, God, help me to never forget this for as long as I live. Listen to me, Christian. You may not have had that drastic of an experience, but it is a serious thing when, as a Christian, we ignore the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. I must needs go through Samaria. You know what? We're going through Samaria, disciples. Well, Jesus, why? That's the long way. Because we need to go. That's why. Well, wait a minute. They don't even like Jews there. We need to go. Thank God Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit of God. He knew waiting there at the well was going to be a woman who he had a chance to bring to himself. Listen, folks, we as Christians have to be sensitive to the fact that God orchestrates divine appointments. Let me say this, although that's been many years ago, scores and scores and scores of times since then, I've watched God lead me when I was sensitive of the Holy Spirit to a certain individual, to a certain street, to a certain place. I didn't always understand it, but let me say this, I just wonder what could happen here in this Jasonville area if every Christian would decide to die to self and empty themselves of sin and become filled with the Spirit of God and listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Spirit. Hey, stop worrying about where you're trying to get to. Stop worrying about the easiest way. Stop worrying about what's convenient for you. Ask God every day, lead me to some soul today. Teach me, Lord, just what to say. There are those that are lost in sin that cannot find their way. Now listen, Jesus Christ wants to use you and me, and He wants to guide us through the Spirit's leading to those who are in need of Him. So number one, I noticed in this story that Jesus was led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and this resulted in the salvation of this woman. Can I also point this out just real quickly? I think that in this story we see the humanity of Jesus Christ. Now folks, never forget this. Jesus was 100% man, 100% God. The fact that He was in the flesh did not diminish His deity. He was the Son of God and God the Son. But let me say this, He also chose to take upon Him human flesh. In verse number 6, we see that He was weary. The Bible says, Jesus therefore being wearied with His journey. In verse 7, we see that He's thirsty. Jesus saith her, give me to drink. In verse number 8, we see that He was hungry, for His disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Aren't you glad that Jesus knows how we feel? I love Hebrews 4:15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. The feelings of our infirmities. You know what? Jesus Christ, He knew what it was to be tired and to be hungry and to thirst. He knew what it was to weep. He knew what it was to be brokenhearted. He knew what it was to experience all of the things that we as human experience short of sin, yet without sin. Jesus never sinned, but He knows what it is to feel the way we do. Let me just have you look up here a minute. I don't know what you're going through, and you may say nobody understands, but Jesus understands. Brother Jerry, you don't know my background. If you knew my background, you wouldn't even want me at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. That, by the way, that's absolutely not true. Matter of fact, if you knew the background of the person sitting beside you and in front of you and the guy standing up here, you'd probably not want to be at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Aren't you glad that God saves old sinners? Aren't you glad that God loves us? Aren't you glad that God can reach way down and pick up anybody that wants to be picked up, that will be picked up? Aren't you glad that when you struggle through the toils of life, I think of these precious teenagers and young people that I see sitting in here every single week of the year, and you may say, preacher, you don't know who I am, and you don't understand what kind of home I live in, and you don't know the baggage that I'm carrying, and you don't know the sin in my life. Let me tell you something. I don't know all of that, but I can tell you this. Jesus does, and Jesus loves you, and He cares about you, and He died for you. And you know what? When you don't think anybody in the world understands, the honest truth is, if you'd sequester yourself away in a private place, shut the door, kneel down beside your bed, and you begin to cry out to Christ, you're going to find that there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You're going to find out that there's somebody that knows all that you're going through and loves you and cares for you and will be there for you no matter what it is. Aren't you glad that Jesus understands who we are and knows how we feel? I want to point this out also in this story. Jesus saw past a bitter and hostile exterior and saw someone who needed a Savior. Now notice the initial interaction here. Are you thinking with me? Are you awake? Verse 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Verse 9, then saith the woman of Samaria unto Him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Wow. Wow. Now if one of us had that interaction, we might say right away, well, this isn't a prepared heart. This isn't the one that I was supposed to talk to today. I mean, here I just try to make pleasant conversation, and she rips my head off right away. She wants to bring up the whole prejudice thing. All of a sudden, she wants to act like, who in the world do you think you are asking me to get you some water? Let me say this, folks. Boy, look up here, soul winners. Can we learn some things today? A lot of times, the person that you work with that's the most hostile also is the one that's the most hungry. A lot of times that porcupine exterior is trying to protect a broken heart. You know what? A lot of times, well, people are mean and caustic and sometimes even hostile towards the gospel of Jesus Christ when we initially bring it up. But you know what, folks? Listen, if someone's got that passionate of a reaction to the gospel, that always tells me, hey, something's hitting close to home somewhere. You know what? I learned this working in the inner city of Chicago. But boy, I tell you what, you'd look on the street, and man alive, you saw everything up there. And a lot of times you'd see those guys, those gang members, and they'd look so tough, and they'd be tattooed, and they'd be so hard, and they'd flash their gang signs. And you know what? From somebody that's just from country boy from southern Indiana, that's awful intimidating. But you know what I learned? I learned that if you just walked up to them, and you stuck your hand out, and you began to witness for Jesus Christ, and you smiled at them, and loved them, and showed them a little compassion. By the way, a lot of times those guys that are so tough in a group, if you can catch them one-on-one, you know what you find out? They've got a broken heart. They've got a broken family. They're searching. They have no peace. That's why they're chasing the drugs. They have no peace. That's why they're into the alcohol and into the gangs. They can't find anything that's real. So they're filling their life with all of this junk and all of these shallow experiences. You know why? Because there's a big, dark, empty hole in their heart. And everything they're trying to fill it, it just swallows it up. And they just need Jesus Christ as their Savior. You know, you look at them sometimes and you're intimidated. You don't realize that they're looking back at you wishing that they had what you had. I'm talking about some of you young ladies. You witnessed to the mean one. You witnessed to the bully. You witnessed to the person that's the most angry and the most hostile towards you. Share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. You know what? The reason they're like that is because they're hurting. The reason they're like that is because they got a broken heart. The reason they're like that is probably some things have happened in their life that's made them a little bit hostile in their actions towards others. But you know what? Jesus didn't look at that as a turnoff. Hey, by the way, night 2007, a bunch of us went. And then again, of course, last year, but May of 2007, 61 church members, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, loaded on a charter bus, drove out to Washington, D.C. to spend all day Saturday before Memorial Day and all day Monday of Memorial Day standing at the war memorials on our National Mall in Washington, D.C., and did nothing but just shook hands with veterans and looked them in the eye and thanked them for serving our country. And in 2 days, 16,000 copies of Grace Will Lead Me Home was put in the hands of veterans or family members of veterans. And you know what? When we showed up there Saturday, we'd never done it before. We didn't know what to expect. Saturday, we show up on the National Mall. We're unloading the books. We get over there to where the crowd is. And folks, on the National Mall, they were here again this year, weren't they, Brother Reiser? 100,000 bikers. You know bikers, boy, they're a wicked lot. Anybody ride a motorcycle, there's something wrong with that type of a person. I'll just tell you that right now. You got to watch them people. You know, there's something evil in their heart. But 100,000 bikers. And I looked around and thought, man, we've landed in the middle of a biker convention. I had no idea. I mean, folks, I'm talking about ponytails. I'm talking about tattoos. I'm talking about piercings. I'm talking about, you've seen everything there. And you know what? We didn't know, but there was something called Rolling Thunder. It starts in San Diego, California. They ride all the way across the nation the week before Memorial Day to get there at the National Mall on Saturday. And they do it out of respect for those that have fallen in battle. This is very serious to them. But you know what? When I first saw that, I thought to myself, oh my goodness, here we all are all in our polo shirts. Operation Think of It, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, khaki pants, young ladies, khaki skirts. We show up and we're in the middle of a biker convention. And I look around at everybody and I said, you know what, let's go out, let's shake hands with these people, and let's thank these people. Let's find out the ones that are veterans. Let's thank them for their service. Let's love them. Let's give them a gift. And you know what you found out? If you could get past that hard exterior and you walked up and you talked to them, folks, they were some of the nicest people you ever talked to in all of your life. And the honest truth is, folks, too many times as Christians, we're too intimidated by someone's outward hostile exterior. We think, well, they'll never be reached. A lot of the times, that's just, I've said this before, remember this, folks, when young people come in here and you know what, they've got the scars of the world and the look of the world and all of that stuff. That's a cry for help. That's a cry for help. That's what it is. And I had to learn this early on. When Jesus saw her hostility, he didn't react to it with hostility in return. He reacted to it in love and kindness. He saw past that bitter, hostile exterior and saw someone who needed a Savior. The next thing I see that Jesus did in this story is he refused her attempts to argue. He answered each one of her remarks truthfully and tactfully and lovingly. If it was a Sunday night, I'd take more time to teach this so our soul winners would learn. But just let me just put it in a capsule for you. Listen, those of you that are out witnessing, when people want to argue with you, don't get in an argument with them, but answer their questions lovingly. Answer them truthfully. Answer them tactfully. And then just get back to the gospel of Jesus Christ. She had some things in verse 10, verse 13 and 14, verse 21, 24. Some things she wanted to bring up. Some questions she needed answered. Jesus answered her question. But when it came right down to it, he brought her back to the fact that she was a sinner and that she needed a Savior. We see the next thing. Jesus established the fact that she was a sinner in need of a Savior. You know what? She heard about this water, that if you drink it, you'll never thirst again. Man, that sounded good to her. Every day she had to go to the well, pull up a bucket of water, fill her water jug, carry that thing back. She thought, man, if I could drink something that I'd never thirst again, I would be able to eliminate this problem in my life. I wouldn't have this chore, one less thing to do every day. Man, give me that water. And this is what she said in verse number 15. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to drink. I love verse 16. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. Wait a minute. She's ready for the water. She wants the water. Why not just tell her the plan of salvation? Why not tell her that you're the Messiah? Why don't you tell her that you've come to save her? You know why? Because something, boy, don't miss this, something had to be established first. Folks, nobody will ever get saved who you can't get them lost. Well, I'm not a bad person. Well, then you're never going to get saved. Because I am. Was before I was saved, but by the grace of God, I am now. Folks, what you're looking at is a sinner saved by grace. I'm looking for it. Listen, folks, the honest truth is if we're not willing to confront our sin and call it and see it as God sees it and call it what God calls it, then you know what? We're not ready to repent of our sin. You're not going to turn from something that you're defending. You're not going to turn for something that you won't call it what it is. And the honest truth is, no one will ever get saved till they come to the point where they look into the Scriptures and see the thou shalt and thou shalt nots and understand if God said it, it's true. And if I did opposite, it's sin. And you know what? I'm going to call it what God called it. It is sin. I'm a sinner, Lord. I'm a sinner. So here she is, seemingly ready to receive that living water. And Jesus said, wait a minute. I want you to go get your husband. Why did he bring that up? Because you know what? She had somewhat of a checkered past. She said, I don't have a husband. Notice this, she's not really ready to repent or confess sin yet. She just kind of gives the easy answer. Well, I don't have a husband, so I can't go get him. She said, well, what you said is true. At least she didn't lie to Jesus. But he said, you've had five husbands, and the man you're living in with right now is not your husband. Now, why did he bring that up? Because you know what, folks? Jesus wanted to point out to her, listen, lady, you are like every other human being out there. By the way, my sin might be different, your sin might be different, mine sin, but I can tell you this, we're all sinners. For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Sometimes we look at someone that has a sin that's not our sin and we say, oh, they're a sinner. Well, folks, we're a sinner too. We've all sinned. That's why we need a Savior. We've all sinned. We're all lost. Well, I may have sinned, but I don't do too many bad things, and I'm doing a lot of good things. Listen, no matter how many good things you do in your life, a good deed does not erase a sin. Sin can only be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so to get sins forgiven, you have to come to Jesus Christ. You know what? You can try to make up for it, but it's not going to erase it off your eternal record. The only thing that erases sin is to come to Christ, confess you're a sinner, turn from that sin, believe in Jesus Christ, ask God to forgive you, and you know what? Then you can be saved. So he dealt with her about the sin. And then, I love this, Jesus then tells her who he is. The woman saith to her, I know that Messiah, verse 25, Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. I love this. Jesus saith unto her, I that speaketh unto thee am he. She believed that there would be a Messiah. Jesus said, I just need you to believe that I'm him. And you know what did she? Oh yeah, she ran back into town and she said, come see a man, told me everything that I've ever done. Is this not the Christ? You know what she was saying? She was saying, I believe he's the Christ. I believe that he's Christ. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that Jesus was the Son of God, is the Son of God? Do you believe he was born of a virgin? Do you believe he lived a sinless life as the Son of God, God in the flesh? Do you believe when he died on the cross, he died for your sins and for my sins and the sins of the whole world? Do you believe that he was buried? Do you believe that he rose again? If you say to this morning, preacher, wait a minute. With all of my heart, I truly believe all those things. Do you believe that you're a sinner in need of a Savior? That's the real question. That's the real question. If you do say, yes, I believe I'm the sinner, I am a sinner, and I am in need of a Savior, then you know what? You're ready to receive that living water.
What kind of magical water is this that he's talking about? You're going to tell me when this chapter ends, that woman never had to go back to that well and get real water and drink it? No, that's not what Jesus was talking about the whole time. He was using water as an illustration and just as a picture. And he was talking about living water. He was talking about the fact that she needed spiritual water. And that, you know what, once she drank of salvation, she would never in that area of her life ever thirst again. You know what's great about being saved? Let me tell you, of all the things I remember about the day I got saved, this is one of the sweetest things I remember. Going to bed that night, laying my head on my pillow for the first time in my life, thinking, if I die, it doesn't matter. I'm on my way to heaven. Hearing somebody preach on the rapture and say, hey, if that happens, I'm going. Hear somebody preach on hell and say, if I die, I don't have to worry about that. I mean, there's such a peace. That's the water, the peace of God, the contentment, the Spirit of God that comes in your life and assures you of your salvation and seals you to the day of redemption and talks to you and communicates with you about the fact that you're a child of God. You know what? That's a sweet, sweet gift of God that comes with salvation, just the assurance of eternal life. Jesus sought out somebody that needed to be saved. He had to go out of his way to do it. He had to overcome the prejudice of those that were with him to do it. And then when he got there, he had to look past her hostility and look at the need. He had to answer her questions patiently and tactfully. He did that. He had to bring her to a point where she knew that she was a sinner. And then he had to tell her who he was and ask her to put her trust and faith in him. And Jesus led this woman to himself at the well. Well, I'm looking around. I don't see a well. There's no well here this morning at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, but there's an altar. The same Jesus is here. And you know what? He never stops going after sinners. And you know what? There was a time I walked into a church and I was lost. I was without Jesus Christ. You know what? Thank God. Thank God that day I walked forward and someone took a Bible and said, let me go over the truths that's been preached. And would you pray today and put your full trust in Jesus Christ? I bowed my head, prayed and asked Jesus to be my Savior that day. And you know what? He saved me. Here's the neat part. That deal's still available today. If you're here without Christ, you can receive him today. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Nobody looking around, please. Nobody looking around. Just take a moment. Let the truth of what's been taught sink into our heart. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you in these moments. If you died today, do you know for sure you go to heaven? I know I ask that from the pulpit a lot. But boy, it's an important question. It's a very serious question. If not, wouldn't you like to know that for sure? If Jesus Christ would be willing to save you just the way you are today, wouldn't you be willing to receive him as your Savior? The same Savior that came down that dusty road and rested upon the edge of a well and chatted with a woman and brought her to himself is the same Jesus that is available today, here today, wanting to offer you the same living water, eternal life. That same peace, that same contentment that floods the soul of someone who no longer has to worry about eternity. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus as your Savior, preacher, I'm looking on the timeline of my life from this point backward. Between the time I was born and now, I can't find any place where I ever really heard the gospel, understood it, came to the point where I was willing to accept that I was a sinner and needed a Savior, and understood that Jesus would save me and just prayed and called upon him and asked him to be my Savior. I want to do that today. If you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to be saved. And say, how do I do that? In just a minute, we're going to have an invitation. When we begin to sing or have the piano player play, you just come to the nearest aisle, walk up here. We have some men that will greet you. If you're a lady, they'll get a lady to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're a man, they'll either talk to you themselves or get someone. But you know what? Why not make today the day that you get saved? I've been praying for you. We love you here. You're amongst friends. Let God do a work of grace in your life. Heavenly Father, bless, Lord, the preaching of your word. Help us as Christians to learn how to be a better soul winner from the example of the ultimate soul winner, Jesus Christ. Lord, if there is someone here without a Savior, I pray they'd be saved today.